From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. This year's global gathering of world elites in Davos, Switzerland, brought new and urgent attention to climate change. The World Economic Forum attracts heads of state and corporate leaders each January to discuss the world economy. This year, hopes were high as the WEF's annual Global Risks Report prioritized the impacts of climate change. But with moneyed interests dominating the gathering, there was little action behind the rhetoric. My guest is Caroline Henderson, senior climate campaigner for Greenpeace. Her organization just released its own report on the issue. Welcome to the program, Caroline.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So before we get to what Greenpeace discussed, let's talk about the World Economic Forum's own report. As I mentioned, it has a global risks report. I understand it is an annual report. And in the past, it has touched on the issue of climate change. But this year was different.
Yeah, I think we're seeing an increasing reckoning of the financial sector with the climate crisis. More and more financial institutions are waking up to the fact that the climate crisis will affect their financial institution, and it's something that we have to take into account right now. So I think the report was starting to address that fact.
So I understand that it actually prioritized climate change above other risks, the issue of extreme weather, and kind of acknowledged the fact that this is an issue that needs to be dealt with. It was front and center in the report, which, of course, I imagine for organizations like yours was a positive move.
Sure. I think it's encouraging to see that more and more financial institutions are reckoning with the climate crisis. That said, we're nowhere near at the level of scale or ambition that we need to be at. And that's why Greenpeace International Executive Director Jennifer Morgan went to Davos to be able to deliver that message of justice to the heads of state and the CEOs that were there and speak truth to power, because right now we're not matching the level of ambition needed to meet the Paris Climate Agreement, and we need to see more action.
So at the very top of their list of risks, the World Economic Forum identified what they called climate action failure. And they, just as well as we, know that the Paris Accord was passed, and yet there has been very little done. We saw that Greta Thunberg, the world famous teen climate activist, was invited by the Economic Forum as well as by the New York Times to address the gathering early in the meeting. And she admonished the world leaders that were gathered there, saying that they have done nothing. They just haven't done enough. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin then made a very condescending comment about how maybe she should take a college course in economics, when talking about the climate. And she, of course, retorted, you don't need a degree in economics to understand that we're basically destroying our atmosphere. So what were the conversations, as per your spokesperson at the, and your Greenpeace representative at Davos, what were the conversations among attendees around climate?
Thanks for saying that. Yeah, I think Greta makes a good point and shows a much more clear-headed understanding of climate than our U.S. Treasury Secretary, and that's the role that Greenpeace is also playing at Davos, is reminding world leaders and financiers that you cannot talk about being a climate leader, you cannot talk about being in alignment with the Paris Agreement while still financing fossil fuels. So many of the world leading banks, pension funds, and insurance companies who are at Davos are still funneling trillions of dollars into fossil fuels. And that needs to stop. We need to cut the money pipeline that is flowing from these financial institutions to fossil fuel companies. And that call is being heard around the world. So in Davos, we put out a report, Greenpeace put out a report called It's the Financial Sector Stupid, reminding the attendees at Davos that when it comes to the climate crisis, the financial sector is fueling it, and that needs to stop. And here in the U.S., a coalition of dozens of organizations have come together, the Stop the Money Pipeline Coalition, to bring that same message to leading banks and financial institutions in the U.S., particularly J.P. Morgan Chase, which is the world's leading banker funding fossil fuels. So that's the message that we carried to Davos and the message that we'll be driving home over the coming months.
So there's the fossil fuel industry and then there's the finance industry. And your report is focused on the finance industry, the banks, the insurance companies, all of which are investing in fossil fuel companies and many of whom were present at the gathering in Davos. Jamie Dimon's been in the news for criticizing the idea of socialism. He's also been in the news for having made an enormous amount of money in 2019. He was paid more than $31 million. And let's get into the details of this report that that Greenpeace put out. How involved are bankers and how involved is the finance sector at Davos each year?
Yeah, so top line findings of the report, 24 of the banks that were at Davos have financed $1.4 trillion in fossil fuels into fossil fuel companies since the Paris Agreement. Three pension funds that were at Davos have at least $26 billion in holdings in fossil fuels. And five of the world's worst insurance providers when it comes to covering coal were also at Davos. So we call this a world economic failure. You can visit worldeconomicfailure.com to see how not only the financial institutions and fossil fuel companies, but even the lobbyists and PR firms are working together to try to undermine the Paris Agreement, which of course needs to stop. We know that the fossil fuel companies couldn't function without the finance sector. And so the purpose of that report is to show the connection between financial institutions and fossil fuel companies so that we can stop that money pipeline.
So the banks, of course, I imagine, are simply investing in new fossil fuel infrastructure or new projects because, of course, in order to access and extract resources from under the ground, left behind by fossils, fossil fuel companies need financing. But what about insurance companies, big companies like AIG? Shouldn't they be very seriously concerned about climate change? Because I imagine insurance companies would be the ones paying for the risks of climate change.
Yes, definitely. Insurance companies are also part of the problem. And right now, for example, AIG is insuring the Adani coal mine in Australia. Meanwhile, fires are blazing across Australia, and we know those fires are fueled by climate change. So the insurance companies need to have a reckoning as well with their role in the climate crisis. We've started to see some movements among insurance companies like Liberty Mutual, but certainly more needs to happen there, particularly with AIG. And there are folks who are working on this. Ensure Our Future has some great resources if people want to learn more.
So what are the ways in which these companies, what were the role that they played while they were in Davos during this meeting? Were they speaking out of both sides of the mouth? Were they addressing the fact that climate change is a problem, but then continuing to invest in fossil fuel companies?
Yeah, we're starting to see movement from some banks. So, for example, Goldman Sachs has started to take steps to reduce their financing of coal and offshore drilling. However, much more needs to happen. And then you have banks like JP Morgan Chase, whose CEO, Jamie Dimon, basically complained that groups like Greenpeace are bullying the banks and hasn't really taken full, hasn't acknowledged the role that his bank is playing in fueling the climate crisis. So that denial needs to stop, and we need to see much more action from banks like Chase.
Now, there was, before the Davos meeting, the company BlackRock, which was found to have made, you know, basically made big headlines. This is a company that is an asset management firm, and it announced that it was going to start to shift its emphasis away from those areas in the economy that are dependent on climate change. How, and you know, there was a huge sort of shift in the, and a lot of talk about that in the financial world. How significant was that move?
BlackRock's words are encouraging. It's encouraging to see that the world's largest financial institution is starting to reckon with the role of the climate crisis and how it could affect them. However, we need all institutions, including BlackRock, to expand on those commitments and really follow words with action. BlackRock is still the world leading financier of oil, coal, and gas when it comes to pension funds. So that needs to stop. And you know, you cannot be in alignment with the Paris Agreement and still financing fossil fuels.
So this is a company that manages assets. It basically decides where money should go in order to maximize the benefit to, you know, to things like pension funds. And so if it has been investing in fossil fuel companies whose future is clearly in question given our climate catastrophe, and they're choosing to move that money away or saying that they'll move that money away, that's a big, pretty serious thing. But what is actually stopping them from doing so? What is the hold that the fossil fuel industry has on all these corporations?
Great question. Yeah, the history and the legacy of the financial sector and fossil fuels goes way back. JP Morgan Chase is a great example of a bank with far-reaching ties with fossil fuel companies. Their chairman of their board is also the former CEO of ExxonMobil, who was at the helm of ExxonMobil during the decades where they sowed the seeds of doubt among the American public about whether or not the climate was changing. So we can see the remnants of that legacy today, and we need a clean break. We need for banks to be moving fully away from fossil fuels and into a future that is going to lead to a sustainable planet.
Caroline, the reason why climate is an issue at a gathering like Davos and why groups like yours call attention to it, I imagine, is because, of course, our entire global economy has been built around the dominance of the fossil fuel industry, right? All the transportation, you know, all of the energy that it requires to make the current global economy work, or around which the global economy was designed, is dependent on the fossil fuel industry. And so there does need to be an economic discussion. And yet, of course, it's the economic discussions that's often brought up as in opposition to climate action. Well, we can't afford to divest from fossil fuels. We can't, if we end our dependence on oil, the entire economy would collapse. Are those facetious arguments?
The truth is that this is not a jobs versus environment conversation, because we know that the planet, the climate crisis is putting not just our planet in peril, but the entire economy. And we also know that without these banks financing fossil fuel companies, it would be a much harder landscape for them to exist with the cost of renewables coming down. And that's those are the forms of energy of the future that we need to be focused on. And those can also be major job creators. So the Green New Deal, for example, legislation in the U.S. Is really showing that addressing the climate crisis can also address the economic injustices that are felt by many in this country who are looking for job opportunities, looking for job training. So I think this is a both and, not an either or.
Right. And of course, these are the same forces who say we can't afford to do this are the ones that refuse to talk about the Green New Deal. They say we can't afford the Green New Deal, even though, of course, the Green New Deal and the ideas behind it would actually be that economic alternative. But then maybe Jamie Dimon wouldn't be making $31 million a year.
Yeah, Jamie Dimon needs to get on the right side of history.
Tell me a little bit about the other, what was happening outside of the halls of Davos. There were the financiers and the heads of state. We had President Trump, of course, speak. Were there people on the outside? Were there protesters? Are there people basically calling into question what Davos represents?
Yes. There was a lot of civil society activity outside of Davos leading up to and during the conference. Regular people like you and me who are concerned about the climate crisis, who are calling on their world leaders and on the financial sector to take the climate crisis seriously and take the action necessary to sustain a livable planet. And that type of action is happening in Davos. It's also happening here at home. So just a few weeks ago, people descended on Capitol Hill along with Jane Fonda, who's been hosting what she's calling Fire Drill Fridays. And this actually, people were arrested on Capitol Hill as well as at a Chase Bank branch in Washington, D.C., calling attention to the fact that the financial sector is fueling the climate crisis and putting their bodies on the lines to be able to make this known. So, and that action is continuing. There have been actions at Chase Bank branches across the country. Our friends at Rainforest Action Network have been working for a long time, making sure that Chase is and Chase CEO Jamie Dimon is aware that many of his customers are concerned about this.
Aren't there also ways in which people who say pensions are being managed by the pension funds invested in fossil fuel companies could be speaking out? I know that there's many smaller divestment movements on university campuses. There are cities, even some mayors talking about having their city pension funds divesting from fossil fuel companies. Are those efforts actually making a difference?
Yes, I think that this is an all-in movement. So when we talk about divesting, we're talking about banks, we're talking about pension funds, we're talking about insurance industry. There are young people on college campuses asking their colleges to divest from fossil fuels. As you said, local government is taking in cities around the country are taking this into account as well. So I think that this is an all in movement, and it's only just beginning.
And of course, in our current election year, the issue of climate change needs to loom large. It comes up sometimes during the Democratic debates that are happening. There are some Democratic candidates that do bring it up more than others. Republicans seem to, imagine that it doesn't exist. And the presidential election this year could be a make or break moment for climate change, not just for the United States, but because of the strength and the way in which the U.S. economy is has such influence. It could be a make or break moment for climate worldwide, right?
Yes, and that's why the 2020 elections are a big priority for Greenpeace, because this is the moment when we show climate leadership as a country. And we know that, you know, the window for acting is narrowing, and now is the time. So we know that President Trump has ties to the fossil fuel industry. He stacked his cabinet with fossil fuel execs, and is standing in the way of, and in some cases reversing, progress on climate. So we need a climate leader in office, and it's up to us to make sure that happens.
So give out the website where people can find out more about the work that Greenpeace is doing. And you had mentioned another website, World Economic Failure.
Yes, if you want to see the It's the Financial Sector Stupid Report, go to worldeconomicfailure.com. And to learn more about what's happening here in the U.S., calling on banks to stop the money pipeline, go to stopthemoneypipeline.com.
And I should actually ask you what specifically your report, the Greenpeace report, is recommending be done. You know, you call attention to the way in which the finance industry is investing in fossil fuels. I imagine that there's some clear recommendations that you make, not that they'll necessarily listen.
Yes, that report does lay out our recommendations for the top banks, insurance companies, and pension funds that are fueling the climate crisis. And number one, it's make real commitments to phasing out fossil fuel investments, and do it on a timeline that's commensurate with the scale of the climate crisis.
Right. There's a lot of talk about divesting in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or transitioning to certain things, you know, in several decades, which is already too late, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Caroline. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
My guest has been Caroline Henderson, senior climate campaigner for Greenpeace. We've been discussing the Greenpeace report on how the finance industry is enabling the fossil fuel industry, as well as what the conversations in Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum have been on the issue of climate. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Do follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali. Thank you so much.